Today is the festival of Chief Elder, which basically means that we think Christ is in charge. Now, it's wonderful to say that. It's quite another to live it. Who's in charge of your life? Now, we'll all give lip service. I will, especially being a pastor. I have to say, well, Jesus is in charge. But sometimes I don't live like that. And I remember in my younger days, I had a very can-do attitude. I liked to be in control. Some of that's still around, you might notice. But it was even more so in my younger days, especially before having a child, I was in control. And we were at a point in our family's life that my poor sister's life was out of control. She had a very active two-year-old, and her husband had walked out. And she was left with a two-year-old. She was working full-time, and she was in an area where there was no family. And so my husband and I, who didn't have a child at that time, took charge. And we said, you need to come and live with us so that you can get on your feet, so we'll have the family support system. And she was very happy to do that. But before that time, she said, you know, I really want to go to this nursing conference. I have no one to babysit Samuel. Could you come and stay in the hotel? We're going to be at a really nice, child-friendly bed and breakfast. And so, Auntie, could you come and stay before I take up residence at your place? So I said, well, of course I can, because I can do everything. So I drove up to upstate New York to this family-friendly bed and breakfast, which was anything but family-friendly. We walked in and we saw 100 ways that the kid could kill himself. And so we realized quite quickly after a night that this was not going to work out. So while Linda went to her conference, I was in charge of the two-year-old and getting everything packed up to go to a hotel that would be really family-friendly. Now, Samuel was quite an active two-year-old, but Auntie could take care of him. And as I'm trying to get things ready, Samuel got away from me inside this bed and breakfast and headed straight to the stairs with Auntie hot on his heels. And I went and grabbed him, and as I did, I fell backwards on my ankle with the kid in my arms. And as I'm writhing in pain, I get up and I'm gimping along, and I realize that as I'm trying to now have a gorilla grip on this child and get everything packed up, that I'm going to need some assistance. So I went to the local drugstore and bought a cane, my first cane ever. And I'm limping along with the cane. Well, the two-year-old is fascinated by the cane. So he's grabbing the cane. Auntie, I like the cane. And he's trying to walk with me with this cane. And any time I told him no, then he wanted to be picked up because he'd start crying. And Auntie was having a hideous time with this child. My sister is having a wonderful time at her conference. But each night she kept complaining because her eye was red and it was tearing and it was bothering her. Well, long story short, by the time I came home, I'm still limping and I have pink eye. And I thought I would have some sympathy from my church family, and all I was met with was mockery and derision as the parents especially looked at me and said, and they're not even under your roof yet. I was completely undone by a two-year-old. And I realized quite quickly that I'm not really in control of this life. When he was nine, the same child checkmated me in four moves at chess and looked at me and said, Auntie, checkmated by a nine-year-old, that's pretty pathetic. The boy is now 19. I let him live. And he's going into the military next month. God help us all. We think we're in charge, don't we? And then life comes along and we become completely unhinged. Now we can be completely unhinged by funny things, by kids. If you're a parent, you know that you get unhinged really quickly. And then there's some heavy things that happen in our lives that unhinge us. We were talking about our prayer concerns and the people that lives have just gone totally out of control. Who's in charge? And I'm so thankful that as a Christian, I don't have to be in control. As a Christian, I don't have to be in charge all the time. As a Christian, I don't have to have all the answers all the time, because Jesus is my shepherd. And he promises that when we're weak, he's going to give us strength. He promises that when we're crippled, he's going to bind us up and give us the power to go on. He promises that when we are tired, he will give us rest. He promises guidance and grace in the time of need. And all the people that I've mentioned in our prayers, when I've spoken to them or read their stories, they have said, if it wasn't for Jesus, we don't know how we could have lived. Who is in charge of your life? We do not have a dictator. We have someone who understands our weaknesses. Who's in charge? We also have someone who will guide us. Now that's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because Jesus is not visible to us. And when we ask for guidance, he doesn't send us down from heaven a list and say, this is what you ought to be doing. So I am not suggesting that we sit around and pray and say, well, I'm not going to move until you tell me what to do. That's not how it works. God gives us our brains and we have to use them and we have to plot a direction in our lives and hope for the best. But when we have Jesus as a shepherd, what we do is we pin all our hopes and dreams on him and say, Lord, I want to move this way, but only if that's what you want for me. And that's not easy to do. Being a pastor, sometimes I have felt like a pawn on the divine's chessboard. But I'm thrilled that I can be that pawn. A few years ago, oh, it must be about 6 or 7 now, my husband was in a job that he was really unhappy with. The work was steady, but he was not thrilled with it. And there was a company in Philadelphia, a branch of his company was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and said, you know, we really need you here. But my work was in Maryland. And I said to him, you have followed me to my work, and you know how faithful Bob is. And I said, if this is something that you want to do, let's explore it, and we'll work out the details. And we, of course, prayed about it and said, Lord, if this is where you want us to go, but we're going to start moving in that direction. He was going to tell the company that he was available. He was going to get an apartment, and we'd kind of live half-time both places until we saw how things worked out. It seemed like a very logical plan. And so Bob went to the man who had said, I really want you here, and said, I'm available. And the man was thrilled. And he brought a proposal to the company. Have you ever had a door slam shut in your face? Not only did the door slam shut, it started bolting. And every time this man came to try to get Bob to his company, the doors slammed shut. This went on for 6 months, and Bob said, well, I'll look for other things. And he got into the area that he's working in now. And we just chalked it up, and a year and a half later, people came to Bob and said, we're ready for you in Philadelphia. He said, we've moved on. What we couldn't have known then was that office has since closed down. And if we had gone, Bob would have been out of work in a few years. We didn't know that. And I wouldn't be here. The guidance of the shepherd, when we pin all our hopes and dreams on Jesus, He gives us the desires of our hearts, even the things that we're not sure about at the time that we pray. Who's in charge of your life? Tomorrow when you wake up, say, Lord Jesus, I pin all my hopes and dreams on you, and see what adventures await. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are not in control, even though we want to be. We thank you that you are our good shepherd, and we ask that as we come to this time of communion, that as we receive those ancient symbols, would you turn with me to page 222 in your hymnals for the Lord's Supper.